What do you think about choice? Do you like having a choice? One of the things that often is presented to us as being a good thing, sometimes in the area of politics, sometimes elsewhere, is you have a choice. So Stephen says he likes choice. Do you always like choice? Yeah, sometimes it is. I've sometimes been at a group meal and there's been a very large menu, and some people take so long over choosing what they want to eat that you think, you know, are we ever going to get this ordered? I have a big advantage there when you have a big menu, because being vegetarian, I can rule out about 80 to 90% of it straight away. So sometimes a limited choice is better. But quite often, if we know what we're doing, if we can understand the choice, if we can make a decision that we're happy with, it's nice to make a choice. So we choose our clothes and we'll buy the colour that we like. Or we'll choose our shoes. I like green, as you can probably see. So it's nice to be able to actually make a choice. But when we don't understand what's going on, it can be a very difficult choice. Unfortunately, our 30-year-old washing machine is on its last legs. It'll probably have its last spin tomorrow morning. And we've actually ordered a new one. But we've had to make the choice about a new one based on a few reviews here and there. We don't know how it's going to perform. I suspect it probably won't last quite as long as the last one. But we've had to make that choice with limited information. And sometimes we have to make choices with virtually no information at all. I mean, what about choosing your energy supplier? I mean, what criteria? I mean, it's the same gas and the same electricity that come into your home, so presumably you're guessing on the price and on what you think the customer service might be like if you have a problem. But of course, we don't always have a choice at all. None of us chose our parents. None of us chose where we were born. When we were growing up, we probably had very little choice in what was going on. And our choices are limited. When we leave home, we can make choices about jobs and so on, but it will depend upon our education. It might depend on where we are. It will depend on the vacancies that are there. I could go on. When we buy a home, we make a choice, but that choice is limited. Again, perhaps by where our job requires us to be, how much money we've got, what properties are actually available for sale. And actually, if you think of our world, we live in a world which is second choice. And it's second choice because what we see around us is not what God would originally have liked. But because he gave humankind free will, this is what we have. So we do live in a world of second choice. But sometimes we can have absolutely no choice at all. Sometimes people are taken to places against their will. And that's the case for the person we're going to look at this morning, for Daniel. He was taken off to a place that for him was certainly second choice. He would have liked to have stayed in Jerusalem, but he was carried off to Babylon. So he lived in a world, more or less his entire life, which was certainly second choice, perhaps even bottom choice. And yet he made the most of that. And we're going to look at it from that point of view. What are we making of our lives in a second choice world? And certainly in some respects, I'm sure, we have not our first choice, but our second choice, or even our third or fourth choice. And we have to live with that.